You want to turn to Matthew 25:1. It's talking about the parable of the ten virgins. I may start teaching a series on it next week. I am going to mention it just briefly now. Tonight we're finishing up a three-week series on how to walk with Holy Spirit to always be ready, especially in trying times. After following the Lord for so many years, so many decades, people often ask, how do you keep following the Lord? Because I'm 64, started following Him when I was 13. So we're talking over 50 years now following Him, ups and downs. I never went away from Him. Can't say I was always close to Him. But honestly, I can say every year I followed Him closer than the year before for 50 years. So it's possible. And people go, how do you do that? I'm telling you, it is not by rules and regulations, because nobody's that disciplined. Eventually, self-will will lose power. It boils down to this. Read the Bible regularly to know His Word and get to know the voice of the Holy Spirit. We talked a lot about it about 2 weeks ago. All our messages are in four places every week, on the website, on Rumble, YouTube channel, and a podcast. So you can catch up on it. But I talked a couple weeks ago about listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. It is so important to get to know Holy Spirit, because in the end, He's the one that encourages you when you're down. He's the one that gives you direction and insight and wisdom, because He says He's the comforter. He's the teacher. And for those that don't, that just go to church and read the Word, it is tough to last for a long time, because you got to have a boost every Sunday morning. You can get to the place where He can give you a boost several times a day. And it's learning to listen to that still small voice. I've never heard the audible voice of God, but He's talked loud sometimes. And almost like it was an audible voice. I've never had Him appear to me in person, although some people have had that. But the point is to get to know Holy Spirit, and it's a process. He's a person. He has emotions. He has a will. He has intelligence. And everybody says that's what makes you a person. Yes, He is God, but He's also a person. And shift your mind into, I'm getting to know a person who is here to help prepare me to walk with Jesus Christ as the bride of Jesus. Now, if you're not familiar with that language, I'm not going to go into it tonight, but there's lots of metaphors in the Bible. He calls us soldiers, calls us farmers, calls us servants. And one of them is the bride of Christ. Now, guys, do not get weird. You're not going to have to wear a white dress. Nothing weird is going to go on. But he calls women sons of God. Okay? They have to deal with that. These are metaphors to show you how close He wants you to be. And so He, as His bride, He wants to be intimate with you. Don't get weird on me. But He wants to get intimate with you in you knowing His voice and you knowing His voice. Because see, there's five levels of being a Christian. One is saved. The second one is to become a disciple, which means you're a disciplined follower of Jesus Christ. The third one is a servant. The fourth one is a friend. And then the fifth one is learning to be a son of God. Very few people get past being saved. And there's so much more. When you're a son of God, when you're a friend, doesn't mean you stop being disciplined. Doesn't mean you stop being a servant. But these things build on top of each other. And so this passage, just in brief, maybe I may take this up as a series next week, we'll see, is a passage that's sort of unnerving to me. And so I've gone through, made some notes, and if it's not next series, in some series I'll talk about it. But this is the point. Well, I'm going to read through this real quick. Matthew 25:1. When the end comes, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids. Okay, he's talking about us. We're bridesmaids. Okay, guys, again, it's a metaphor. They took their oil lamps. Oil stands for, in this passage, we're not going to develop this fully, but it stands for Holy Spirit inside of you. Why? Because oil is inside of a lamp. That's what causes it to burn. Holy Spirit is inside of you. That's what causes you to burn with the passion of God. They took their oil lamps and went to meet the groom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. Why were they foolish and wise? We'll hit it just barely. We'll talk more about it in the future. How many of you want to be a wise bridesmaid? So what is this saying? They're all bridesmaids. They're all Christians. But you can be a foolish Christian or a wise Christian. Foolish bridesmaids took their lamps, but they didn't take any extra oil. The wise bridesmaids, however, took along extra oil for their lamps. Is this the one I want? Yeah, I think it is. Since the groom was late, okay, Jesus Christ hasn't come back yet. That's what it's talking about, the second coming of Jesus Christ. All the bridesmaids became drowsy and fell asleep. How much of the church, even though they're saved and they have the Holy Spirit inside of them to some degree, are asleep and not paying attention to what's going on around them? Awake. That's what he's saying. Stay awake, metaphorically. At midnight, they're all half asleep. They're not expecting it. Someone shouted, "The groom is here. Come to meet him." Then all the bridesmaids woke up and got their lamps ready. The foolish ones said to the wise ones, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." They had some oil, but not enough oil. They had the Holy Spirit because it says in Ephesians 1, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit is given to you as an inheritance or a seal for your salvation. But they hadn't kept their oil up. How do you keep your oil up every morning? "Holy Spirit, I love you. You're amazing. I want to hear your voice more. Help me to recognize your voice more." That's keeping your oil lamps up. And that's sort of what we've been talking about the last 2 weeks. Be some review here. Our lamps are going out. But the wise maids replied, "We can't do that. There won't be enough for both of us. Go find someone to sell you some oil." While they were buying oil, the groom arrived. The bridesmaids who were ready went with him into the wedding hall, and the door was shut. Now, I don't know what all this means. The point of reading all of this is I want us here to get better at knowing the Holy Spirit's voice and what He's doing. And that's what we've been talking about. This will be the third week. So that, yes, there is literally Jesus Christ is coming back. But you know, how many times has Jesus Christ spoken to us in that still small voice and we didn't hear it, or we didn't care, or we didn't pay attention to it, or we ignored it because it's not what we wanted to hear? I'm afraid a large part of American Christianity is asleep and they like it that way. This is the problem, though, is you're going to miss intimacy with Him and going into the marriage supper of the Lamb with Him, and the door's going to be closed. And I don't understand all this theologically. You can work this out, Google it, figure it out. But somehow or another, they were saved, but they missed the intimacy with Him. I don't want any of us to be there. I want us all, 35 of us, or however many people here, we're all sitting around these tables, and then the next one day, if He actually comes back, well, when He comes back, He is coming back, but when He comes back, if it's in my lifetime, we're all sitting around those tables. We heard His voice. That would be the greatest thrill of my life as a pastor, is to train people and get our whole sheepfold in that place. And so, it's been trying. In January, as I said 2 weeks ago, in January 2023, I gave a word and I said in 2024 and in 2025, I believe that the baptism of fire, which is the Father's baptism, there's actually, we talk about the baptism of Jesus, there's a baptism of the Holy Spirit, and there's a baptism of fire, which is the Father. You see all through the Scriptures. Now, I'm throwing out a lot of stuff, and if you go, what is he talking about, and not developing it? That's why the pen and paper is on the tables. Write it down and go learn for yourself. The Holy Spirit's the best teacher. Or we can talk afterwards. But you see three all the way through the Bible, because the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit work together. They have different roles. They have different plans, but they'll do it together. And just there is the baptism of Jesus, which you get after you get salvation. But there is each of them bring a baptism. And the baptism of fire brought by the Father, I said, beginning in January 2023, we are going through a time of pruning. The fire is where He judges our works. This is all on tape. Well, we don't do tape anymore. It's all on streaming. And so where He tries to, He puts a fire to your works, your motivations, your thoughts, and the way you think. and to see if there's any precious stones there, or does it all burn up in wood, hay, and stubble? How many of y'all know that verse? And so we talked about it, and so I'm just talking, going fast through the review. And so this last year and a half, it's probably been the most intense time for me. And it's, I'm not talking like disasters hit me, but he's going, why do you think this way? This is happening. What's going on? Why do you do this? Causing us to come up to a new level of holiness, a new level of thinking, a new level of purity. Why? Because he's trying to make you look like Jesus. And you can, it says the Bible, you don't have to wait to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. You can judge yourself now with his help. And it's better to judge now to know what to stop. Because many things that I've gone through the last year and a half, that is obviously, maybe it was good for a season, but it's not the season anymore. And I'm going, what's going on? He goes, well, we're just not doing that thing anymore. Well, I thought that was forever. There are very few things that are forever in the kingdom of God. There are some, marriage, family, maybe ministry. But a lot of stuff he's doing to us to get ready for us for what we should, our calling and where we're going. And then some things he burned up. I go, I thought that was you. He goes, no, that was just you. That was your good idea. You ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it wasn't evil, but it wasn't. And I just let you do it because I was working on other stuff. But we're working on this stuff now. Y'all look at me. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's been intense. And so this, and it's not over. I think we're over halfway. I hope. I pray. But he's going to do this for the rest of your life. But there's periods where it's just a lot of fire and intense. And it's so hilarious to me with the Pentecostal charismatic heritage that a lot of us are. They start praying for the fire of God. There's songs for the fire of God. I'm going, no, no, I'm not. That's like praying for patience, okay? What they usually want is to pray, what they really want is to pray for the glory of God to come down. Yes, the glory's cool. Fire, somebody's going to get burnt, and it's probably you. It's probably me. And I'm not talking about judgment and condemnation. He's just going to put fingers on it. Craig, why were you doing this? I don't know. It seemed like a good idea. Did you ask me about it? I just thought it was a good idea. Yeah, that was the problem. He goes, I want you to do this. And so this is what I've learned. Am learning. Here's some things to remember. This is still a review, but there's some people weren't here last 2 weeks. Some people may not be here next week. Is God is trying to make us look like Jesus. Why? Because you're going to be married to him. And he's working on what it says in the Revelation 19 to make you a pure, white, holy bride, worthy to walk with him. Not because we're that great. But the Holy Spirit with Jesus makes us look better than what we should be. And he works on us. And he knows what Jesus likes. And there's a lot of good analogies there. But this is what I can tell you. How many of you know Holy Spirit's working in your life? And you're not quite sure where it's all going? That's a big part of the rest of your life. But this is what I can guarantee. It's going to look different than whatever you think it's going to look like. Joel, in the prophetic gathering, the intercession beforehand, he's talking about one of the biggest things that if we're not careful, we'll get offended and fall away, is expectations. Wrong expectations. And wrong expectations is always based off of what we thought the circumstances should look like. And Jesus thought they should look like something different. Now, there's no good way to get around this. Because, I mean, we don't know what it's going to look like, so we imagine something. And that's okay. But practically, we've got, if you're going to walk many years with the Lord, you've got to be flexible. You just got to learn to be flexible. Oh, this is what it's looking like. I really thought my idea was better, God. How many of you think that? It's like this weekend Israel bought a car. I don't know what kind of car he had in mind when we started, but I don't think it was the the car that we ended up buying, was it?
No, we were thinking somewhere around
a little white. And you weren't even thinking of a white sedan, were you? I mean, you were leaning more towards trucks, sports cars, BMWs, until we looked up how much insurance was on a 21-year-old. So what he has is a great car, maybe a better car, but it's not what he expected. And so as we walk through that process, he had to, I'm picking on him, that's what he gets for being my son and I'm preaching. But he had to redo his expectations as he's walking. Great metaphor, you get the point. I don't have to keep harping on this. But as you're walking with the Lord, deal with the thought, okay, this is not looking like the car that I thought it would look like. Not even maybe the car I want, but I can see the signs of God on this thing. Okay? And be flexible, and this is what I always pray. Father, this is not exactly what I had in mind, but if this is what you want from me, help me to shift my mindset into your mindset and to be grateful and happy with it. Because I guarantee you, you're going to have to do this a lot. And that's okay. Because the funny thing is, we all think when God tells us something, we can just change like that. God told me, yeah, sure. None of us. Well, maybe some of you more spiritual ones like John over here. Maybe you're that way. But most of us, we go, this is how it is. If it's our idea, we change immediately. But if it's not our idea, we go, oh man, I don't know. And we do the same thing with God. And it's all right to tell him. Be honest with him. You know, go, God, this is not exactly what I had in mind. And he goes, I know. Or he'll say something like that, or you'll feel a peace. Y'all know what I'm talking about? But he still doesn't explain it. I'm waiting for the explanation. Why are you doing it this way? He just goes, I know. He's waiting to see if we'll bow our heart, bow our knee to him, and trust him. Faith, without seeing the future, gives him honor. Okay, I believe you, God, even when I can't see it. And what he does is he turns around to the demons on the outer heaven. See, this guy's following me. He doesn't even know where he's going. Do you have any followers like that? No, you got to pay off your followers. You got to give them celebrity status. You got to give them fame. You got to give them fortune beforehand before they even follow. You know, Becky's going to follow me even if she doesn't even know where she's going. That's the kind of followers I have. That's cool. We talked about last week, and I'm not going to go into a lot of details. But one of the things that really trips people up in walking with God is doing the three C's. So there's three C's we don't want to do. And don't compare, don't copy, and don't compete. And this is the downside of social media. I don't mind social media. I mean, RC's got a Facebook page. We never update it, but RC's got a Facebook page, Instagram, whatever, social media, X, whatever. But this society today, we have morphed into, we run everything that we do and we compare it to see if other people are doing it. Or if we see somebody successful, Jason goes, I'm just picking on him, Jason looks at Joel, he's successful. What is he doing? I'm doing that. Okay? It must be God because it's working for him. What his assignment is not your assignment. And if you copy what Joel's doing, because that's his assignment, God will let you do it, but his anointing and grace and power will not be on you to do it. Because he didn't call you to do it. He'll go, Jason, go do it. I don't care. I mean, he'll try to warn you, but if you go, it must work for him. What will happen is you'll go running off and doing it, and it'll be a failure. Then you get mad at God, and he goes, I never called you to do it. I'm not honored. I'm not bound to give you wisdom, strategy, strength, insight to do something I didn't ask you to do. And there is a lot of movement in Christianity that we're doing because it looks good, It looks successful. And it worked for somebody else. And we're wearing ourselves and getting burned out. When you get burned out, and I've been burned out a lot, I'm not pointing fingers. When you get burned out, you did something that the Lord didn't ask you to do, or didn't ask you to do it that way in that quantity. They don't go to this church. Met a pastor recently, or he came up to me, somebody that's in a church, an elder in a church. They said, I'm burned out. What do I do? Now, me being the pastor, the nice, loving, sweet-talking guy I am, I said, you need to repent. That was not the answer he wanted. He wanted me to be the nice, sweet talk and have compassion. I said, I've been there, bud. I said, you need to repent. Repent of what? You are doing something God did not ask you to do. Your life is not ordered correctly. You need to figure it out, repent, and stop it. That was a nice counseling session, wasn't it? But it'll set you free. I don't know if they did that or not. That they never came back for a second session. So, but but we do that many times. We copy, we compare, we try to build ourselves up because we're not secure in who God has made us. And the first step is to accept where you're at and to run your race. Wow, I'm not even getting through reviewing. Let me take a side thing here, and this will probably be the end tonight. But we'll be back next week. Turn over to Acts 20, 24. Let's use the Apostle Paul's life. And I just feel maybe the Holy Spirit's wanting us to talk about this. This is why we're talking about it. I said we would finish this series tonight. We won't. So this is how he works with me. I've tried to be one of those guys to do the PowerPoints and do the exact points and everything's right. And it just never worked. I have 3 points and I'm up here preaching. He says, skip the second point. But it's on the slide. We can't skip the second point. They're going to wonder what the second point was. And then I'd skip it and 5 people come up. What was the second point about? So this way, you don't know how many points I got. I'm a little too transparent, aren't I, Sean?
Yes.
Acts 20:24. This is we're jumping in. This is talking about the great apostle Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament and started most of the churches in the book of Acts. I don't know if he did a lot of work. Let's just put it that way. It was amazing. Besides Jesus, he's my favorite character in the Bible. And you can easily get depressed reading him and compared it to what you're doing. But it was a great... Daly is getting a kick out of me over there. She's going, I'm taking my tithe back. This is not what I was paying for. Oh, you like Peter? Okay, I thought you were saying something like I was like Peter. I just barely heard you. Acts 20:24. This is the Apostle Paul. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only. Now, this is getting into the don't compete. We talked about it a little bit last week. Just don't compete. Why do we compete? Because we want to be the best. Either because we want to be the best or we're so insecure we're trying to do something to make ourselves feel better. When you're competing, I'm not talking about sports or racing or basketball, but when you're competing in life, you need to get before the Lord and go, why do I need to do this? We need to compete with the call of God on our life. We compete with what He's asked us to do. That's your standard of measure. When you get to heaven one day at the judgment seat of Christ, everybody in this room is going to stand before Him. And you cannot say, well, I did better than David Cooper on the back row. He's just going to look at you. Well, I didn't call you to be like David Cooper. What's next? He's going to say, I have given you things to do. Ephesians 3:20. Before the foundation of the world, I pre-approved you good works to do before me. That's what He's going to judge you on. But it says, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me If only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. Now, let me give you a little background. This was written roughly 20 years after Jesus' resurrection. And from what we can tell, it's not like they kept diaries on this, but it looks like roughly 10 years before Paul's death. 10 years, at least a decade before his death. And he was killed early because he's standing before an emperor. Maybe Nero, it looks like. Some of this you have to try to put historical timelines or biblical timelines. So he says, 10 years, I just want to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. Does it look like here he knew what his task was? And he knew what his race was? It seems to imply it, at least to me. So many Christians, their entire life at 94, they're going, I wonder if I did the will of God. Now, you know, day to day can get a little confusing. But I really think every one of us, we've been walking with the Lord any length of time. Maybe that's what we do next week, is how do we know the will of God? I hadn't taught that in a long time. I taught it recently at y'all's place. Every one of us should know the general trajectory of what we should be doing at that moment. You know, big picture. But so many Christians don't. Because we're comparing, we're copying, we're competing. We're not asking that question. So ask the Lord regularly, am I doing what you want me to do? He'll answer that. Is there anything you don't want me to do? Because this is a big deal. Turn, and we'll close with this. Turn to 2 Timothy 4. Well, I don't have the verses in here. I just got one long passage from 1 to 8. 2 Timothy 4, 1 something or another. So it's probably around 6 or 7 or 8, 2 Timothy 4. This is the end of his life. So you saw what he said 10 years earlier. I just want to finish my race, finish my task. And there's nothing better than knowing I'm doing what Holy Spirit wants me to do. There's nothing better than doing what I know what God wants to do. And Christians in America or in the West, their whole definition of Christianity is, dang, I made it to church 4 times this month on Sunday morning. That's not your task. That is not your assignment. That's where you may go to hear how to do your task. You are part of a community. Everybody should be going to a local church and make community because you need encouragement. But that's not it. That's where you go to talk about the victories you've had. That's where you go to talk about, I need prayer. That's why we do the 5:30 thing. It's to facilitate it. But if the height of your Christianity is to go to church 4 times a week, that is pathetic. That is a pathetic life. Why would Jesus Christ die for that? Ooh, I'm getting too blunt, aren't I? You were created for good works, as Ephesians 3:20 says, prepared beforehand. To change your world around you, to change your garden. And it's the most exciting, adventurous life on the planet. People often say, and I'm trying to get to this, 2 Timothy 4. People often say, well, I don't want to do Christianity because it's boring. There is a lot of boring Christianity out there. But I'm telling you why. Because it's churches that do not emphasize walking with the Holy Spirit, reading your Bible, and listening to His voice. Without that, it is boring. Because you're just following a bunch of rules, a philosophy without a relationship. When you start walking with the Holy Spirit, when you start really walking Christian, it is the hardest thing you have ever done. But it's also the most exciting thing you've ever done because He keeps asking you to do stuff that scares the devil out of you. And that's the point. So here's Paul. Somewhere around 6 or 7, 2 Timothy 4. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. He knew he was about to die. He knew he'd been, if you read Acts, he knew many, many years earlier, I will live at least long enough to tell the emperor the plan of salvation. And then you look after that. Look at all the stuff he went through. Beaten three times, shipwrecked, a poisonous snake. He knew he wasn't going to die. It might be painful, and it was. It might be persecution, and it was. One time it says they threw him over a wall in a basket, and he died, but it looks like he rose again from the dead right then. It's sort of hard to tell. But he knew he wasn't going to die because his task hadn't been done yet. Now, but, he says, it's come for my departure. I have fought. Now, tell me if this doesn't sound like what he said 10 years earlier. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. So for at least 10 years, I think more than that, but just looking at the Bible and putting dates on it, for 10 years, he knew his race. And it wasn't to compete, compare, or copy. He was going to be unique. And each one of you in here have a unique calling. Do not lower that calling to copy somebody else that you think is successful. Don't compare yourself to somebody else. What they have is brilliant and awesome, and it's for them. And what you have is brilliant and also for you. And you can come together and be different and without us as subtle as my thing better than them, are we better? No, you are both created to look like the multifaceted dimension of God. And together, when we're all following Him, we look like Him. And your calling is the best calling you could possibly have. Because your physical DNA, your looks, your education, your background, your spiritual DNA all lines up to do your calling. Let's stand. That's good. So, Father, I thank You. I have the privilege of walking with these awesome people who their spirit is looks like You. And You're making their soul look like You and their body look like You. Thank You, Father. I get to walk with all these awesome people and just hear their stories of what God's doing in their life without comparing it to my story or thinking mine's less. And then I get to share my story, and we celebrate that God is a chess player, and He's putting us in the place on the boards that we need with the pieces that we need, because He is going to overturn the king of the demonic realm in this earth. Sometime in the future, there's going to be a checkmate of Him. And You're using us to position to take Him out, ultimately when You come back with a second coming, but it's not just going to be then. You're making moves now. As somebody said, the prophetic gathering, you need a body to work through. And we got our individual body, then you got us as a body. You call us together a body. So much depth here, so much teaching we could talk about. But that's fine. We can research that this week. But Father, I pray Your blessings upon them. I pray they will have Your peace this week, Your presence this week. We walk in Your power this week. To the glory of You, in Jesus' name, amen.